Once again, our text, verse 21a, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. 25a, woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, happy are the hungry, for that's another attribute or attitude not only necessary in order to enter and to possess the kingdom of God, but it's the characteristic of those who are in it. Yes, blessed are you hungry, for you and you alone shall be satisfied. But what kind of a hungry is this? Well, as Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, it's to be hungry for righteousness. Here, Jesus is telling us that to be blessed, to be truly happy, to be absolutely and eternally well off, you need to be hungry for the right thing. And that right thing is righteousness, which is to have and show forth that which constitutes the very being and nature of God, who is love. For righteousness is love in action, the doing of what is right. That's what righteousness is. And once again, it describes the character of those reborn by the Spirit of God. The lives of those who share and display the character of Christ. And Jesus says you need to hunger after this righteousness. For you need this righteousness as much as you need food and water. That as our physical lives depend on food and water, so our spiritual lives depend on righteousness. Like being poor in spirit, this too is something that is true of all Christians. Not just some, but all. And this also is what shows you to be absolutely different from the world. For the world hungers after all kinds of things, like sinful pleasures, possessions, power, and prestige. Lots of things the world is hungry for, but not righteousness. Unlike them, the Christian seeks first God's kingdom and His righteousness, as Jesus says in Matthew 6, knowing that everything else that we truly need will be given to us as well. Everyone is hungry for something. But only those who hunger for righteousness, for God, will be filled. You know, physical hunger is obviously a terrible thing. At least it can be. Every day, thousands of people die of malnutrition and its accompanying diseases. And we've all seen the pictures of children with bloated stomachs and the hopeless, empty stares and hollow eyes of their listless parents standing by. Physical starvation is a terrible thing. It kills, and it leads to a miserable death. But all the hunger horrors imaginable are nothing compared to the horror of unfulfilled spiritual hunger and unquenched spiritual thirst. Unsaved people thirst for happiness, and they hunger for fulfillment, because that's what we were made to know in God. But they seek it in all the wrong places, spending their money, as Isaiah 55 says, on that which is not bread, and all their efforts on what does not satisfy. You know, it's like taking a Tylenol or some other kind of painkiller. When your stomach is aching for lack of food, So are the amusements of this world. Entertainment, alcohol, sex. Those who go these ways find that they only help for a while in masking the symptoms of their real problem, our real cause of emptiness and pain. But these things cannot and do not deal with the source of our pain and misery. All the things in the world cannot remove it. And they're most to be pitied who think that they can. And this is why Jesus says, "Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry." What are you hungry for? Fun, pleasure, money, power, praise, possessions? Or the only thing that can meet your real need? As Jesus said, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Yes, blessed, happy are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. Now, what does this mean? What is this hunger? Well, first of all, to be hungry for righteousness means to hunger for salvation, to be right with God, to be justified before His holy law. It means to hunger not only for forgiveness of our sins, which we long to be free from, but to know God's favor and to enjoy His glorious fellowship in our lives. As one who has fully met His righteous standards, it's the desire to be free from my sins, because I know that I am unable of myself to earn this righteousness before God, because I know that all my righteous deeds, that which I myself, by myself, could possibly offer to God, are as filthy rags before His holy sight. That's what it means to hunger for righteousness. And it's to long to be clothed with the perfect righteousness that He alone can give me. The righteousness that He gives by grace alone, through faith alone, and the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In Him, whom God made to be sin for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to desire that very thing more than anything else in the world. But as great as this is, to hunger after righteousness means more than desiring a right status before God. Even to know ourselves as His legally adopted sons because of the just satisfaction of His law in Christ Jesus, as wonderful as all that is. For it means to desire this hungering that Jesus is talking about, to desire personally a righteous character and life, to live a life that brings glory to God, that shows that I am His child. To live a life that is holy, that is separated from sin and devoted to God. For it's the desire to be more and more like Christ and to reflect Him, Jesus, who is the very image of our infinitely glorious God. And thus to hunger after righteousness is to hunger not only for justification, but for sanctification. To be holy in all that you think, do, and say, just as your Father in heaven is holy. But finally, to hunger after righteousness is hunger for nothing less than a restored world where everyone knows Christ and desires to love God with all their heart and to love their neighbor as themselves. For it's to hunger not only for your justification and your sanctification, but for the full manifestation of the glory of God. That is, for our glorification and that of the world, of a world redeemed in Christ, a world in which idolatry in all its ugly, hideous forms have been put aside, where there is no murder, no abortion, no cruelty to the fellow image bearers of God, where there is no divorce, where there is no hatred, but only the love of God. For it's to hunger for the new heavens and the new earth, which Peter calls the home of righteousness. It's a longing that all we know, all the people around us, may also come to know this great God that we have come to know in Jesus Christ. As Jesus says, those who hunger for this will be satisfied. And why? Because it's found, this great feasting, filling, and satisfaction in Him. For as Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst. He alone is that food that endures to eternal life. As John 6 goes on to say, real life, life to the full and everlasting. For as Jesus goes on to say, even after that, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You know, the world is always looking for substitutes, which can never satisfy. Think of the Samaritan woman, known as the six-time loser, who went from one relationship to another, looking for satisfaction, fulfillment, and love, but never finding it. As they sat by that well, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Brothers and sisters, young people, we need to know that in all of our searching for happiness, for true fulfillment, for the one true thing, as it is sometimes put, we need to know, not just know intellectually somehow, but truly know that it is found in Jesus alone. All else is a waste of time and a great disappointment. We need to own Jesus as our shepherd and Lord, as David did in Psalm 23. Only then can we say, I will never be in want. Only then can we say and experience in our lives, my cup overflows. That's what it means to be satisfied. But again, to be satisfied, we must hunger for righteousness. The word that Jesus uses to describe the blessed here, who now hunger, is a word used to describe deep hunger for those who are really hungry, really starving to know God. When we say that we're hungry, we usually mean that it's 1 p.m. and we're used to eating around 12:15. But what Jesus is talking about isn't that kind of hunger. In his book, The Last Crusade, Major V. Gilbert tells of the thirst that he and his men suffered in the Palestinian desert in World War I. There he writes, our heads ached. Our eyes became bloodshot and dim in the blinding glare. Our tongues began to swell. Our lips turned to a purplish black and burst. Those who dropped out of the column were never seen again. But the desperate force battled on to Sharia. There were wells at Sharia. And had they been unable to take the place by nightfall, thousands were doomed to die of thirst. We fought that day as men fight for their lives. We entered Sharia's station on the heels of the retreating Turks. The first objects which met our view were the great stone cisterns full of cold, clear drinking water. It took 4 hours before the last man had his drink of water. I believe that we all learned our first real Bible lesson on that march from Beersheba to the Sharia wells. If such were our thirst for God and for righteousness, for His will in our lives, a consuming, all-embracing, preoccupying desire, how rich in the fruit of the Spirit would we be? Are you hungry and thirsty for the things of God? If you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, you can't be in the kingdom. They and they alone are those who know the great satisfaction of heart, soul, and mind already now, but who continue to hunger and thirst for even more. For there's always more of the wonderful fellowship, goodness, greatness, joy, truth, and glory that we can know of God. I mean, think of Moses. He knew more of God than most of the saints who have ever lived. He talked to God, the Bible says, face to face, as a man talks to his friend. And yet he asked God in Exodus 33:18, show me your glory. Now you might say, enough already, Moses. Enough is enough. You were on that mountain with God for 40 days and you saw him write the Ten Commandments with his own finger on the stone. You've seen so much of God. And Moses would say, but not enough. David also experienced God's friendship and presence as few people ever have. He saw God going before him, fighting his battles, leading him, encouraging him. And yet he says in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you, for the living God. And in Psalm 63, he says, my soul thirsts for you, for your loving kindness is better than life itself. Paul, too, knew a lot about the Lord. He met him, after all, on the Damascus Road. And he knew close communion with him ever since. Becoming the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. And yet, he says in Philippians 3, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him. Like your favorite food, children. Just think of what that is for a moment. And you know this is true. The more that you eat, the more you want. You're satisfied. But because it's so good, you want more. And you only stop because your stomach can't hold anymore. And your sides are splitting. But imagine that you could continue to eat and drink. Well, that's what it's like to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It satisfies as nothing else does. But still, you want more. As Christians, we know God by the power of His Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is still so much more we can know of God. We love, but we know that we can love and experience the love of God and be the channels of God's love towards others far more than we do. We pray, but we know that we can always pray more and draw closer to God. We obey, but we know that we can always obey more and become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. The world, of course, has an appetite too, but their appetite is not for righteousness. Yet they're still hungry and thirsty for something that satisfies. But like eating poisonous mushrooms, the things of the world only make you feel full for the moment and then makes you sick. Like drinking salt water, the things of the world give a temporary feeling of satisfaction, but only make you thirstier and more dried out on the inside than ever. As someone has said, when the prodigal son was hungry, he ate the pig's food. But when he realized that he was starving to death, he went home to his father. Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Or are you full of yourself and the things of this present and passing world? As it is with starving people, and food, once they get to a certain point, so the lost in regards to righteousness. As the Puritans used to say, those who have the most need for it, least wants it. Do you see your faults and sins? Or are you always right and others wrong? Do you think quite highly of your own good deeds and righteousness before God? Only those who are poor in spirit are hungry. Only those who know their need really want God. Only they also are satisfied. For as Mary says in Luke 1, verse 53, He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. Do you have an appetite for the Word of God? Do you look forward to your time in the Scriptures as you do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the snacks that you enjoy in between? Or could you just as well skip your time in God's Word? The psalmist says, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. And as Jeremiah said, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Is your hungering and thirsting like that? And is it unconditional? The rich young ruler wanted to enter the kingdom of God, but not if it cost him his riches. And so he lost out and went without. How about you? Do you say, I want Christ all right, but also my sin? Christ and my illicit relationship. Christ and my lying and cheating. A hungry man doesn't want food and a new car. A thirsty man does not want water and a new house. They just want food and water. What we are dying for, no earthly stream can satisfy. We must feed on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, or we'll die. There is no other real food, only deceitful substitutes indulged in by many. No wonder Jesus says, "Woe to you who are well fed now." You understand that means woe to you who think that you are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Like the rich man in hell, longing for a drop of water to cool his tongue. Such people will discover only too late how empty they really were. Brothers and sisters, that's why Jesus came. That's what he came to save us from. Such is his love for sinners, such as you and I. It's he who truly hungered for righteousness. He who could say, after ministering to that lost Samaritan woman, you remember what he said? He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That's what Jesus hungered for, thirsted for, to do God's will. And that will for which Jesus hungered more than anything in the world, do you realize what that was? It was to save you, to see you truly fed, not perishing, and one day sitting down with him forever at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Because of his hunger for your salvation, he laid down his life to be the food and drink you need for life eternal. And so as we hear, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, so may we do so by faith when we hear the Word of God. The glorious tidings of salvation in Jesus. Take, eat, take, drink, knowing that no other food, no other meal has been offered to you at such a cost. Nor does such food come with such power to give life. Yes, happy are you who hunger for the righteousness found in him, in Jesus. For you shall be satisfied. Amen.